I want to pick back up verse 17 again. And the scripture says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now we've been talking about the wisdom of the Lord versus our wisdom. And here Paul is writing, he said that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity or the uselessness of their mind. This old mind that we have is very limited to what we can accomplish. The Bible says, having the understanding darkened, now that's getting worse right there, having understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And we talked about this the last time that we met, like having your conscience seared with a hot iron so that you don't feel the things and stuff that you should be feeling. But the Bible says right here, but ye have not so learned Christ. He said, according to the flesh, according to the things of this old world, according to what goes on around us, he said, ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And I love this right here. Because it said the truth is in Jesus, and the Bible says what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the truth. So I love that one statement because I know what the truth is. The truth is Jesus, and I've got something to stand on in this whole world while it's crumbling around me tonight, and each and every one of us do, because we can certainly trust in that name in which we believe. The Bible says we have so been that we have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And I thought about John chapter 14 when I was reading that. John 14, beginning of verse 21, God's word said, and Jesus speaking here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So now we've got a promise here right there from Jesus himself as he was talking to his disciples. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and listen now, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So now we've got a promise right there to be loved of the Father. That means a whole lot right there in this old world and stuff, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Now you may not feel this way, but I can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and I can see somebody's pretty well unlovable and going to get a lot more unlovable before the day is over with. I'm going to go ahead and guarantee you. You can just look at that. You can look at that. But he's made us a promise there. If we would keep his commandments, that we'd be loved of the Father. And he said, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, listen to what the scripture says right there. He says that the Father and the Son will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, that's a promise right there again. And that's something that we need in this old life, in this world we're living in. Now, Brother Jerry was talking last week and stuff, and he was talking about how that things going on around us and the situation with the church and all that that was going on. And I thought about these scriptures and stuff, you know, with the lack of wisdom that man has. And we as God's children, we've said it time and time and time and time again, we need to seek God's wisdom in our lives We need that in our lives, in our everyday cares and concerns, raising children, those who have children to raise, raising grandchildren for those that's raising grandchildren. We have that in our everyday life, that we need the wisdom of God to guide and direct us in every step that we make. He that loveth me not, now listen, now it's just plain and simple. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. In this verse right here, I've always loved this verse. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And I'm going to read that again. It said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. My daddy suffered with Alzheimer's. And I seen after my daddy for 5 years till he started running away from home. And on one occasion, he crawled over a 4-foot fence at 80 years old and ran out in the middle of the highway and laid down. And I had to give him up and put him in a nursing home. My daddy's mind was gone. But I'm going to tell you something about my daddy. Sometimes my daddy knew me and sometimes he didn't know me. But he always knew the Lord. You know what? That one that saved him by His grace, he always knew Him and he always ready to talk about Him when I'd get up there at the nursing home. He'd sit down with me. He said, son, let me talk to you about the Lord. He said, because the Holy Ghost ain't never going to leave you. They ain't never going to forsake you. It's always going to be with you wherever you're at. If you're saved by the grace of God, He'll stay right there with you. And it'll cause you to remember the Lord and what He's done for you. Every step you make till you make your way home and on to the other side. Praise His holy name. So the Bible tells us that if we have heard Him and have been taught Him by Him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. And that is a beautiful thing to me and stuff that we are taught by Him. He's not left us alone. That you put off. And you know, this is something right here. We have got things in this old world that we've got to do. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. To put him off. And for us to put off this old man, we've got to put on the new man. We've got to put him on. Every day that we live, we've got to take this old man off, and we've got to put the new man on. This old man ain't going to do nothing but cause us trouble. Trials, afflictions, that's all it's going to do. That's the reason I said every day that we live, we need to seek God's wisdom to guide and direct us in our lives to take this old man off and put this new man on. Put it on. And the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's go to Romans 12 for a minute. Beginning with verse 1, Paul writing again, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Bible says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul has just written in Ephesians that you put off the former man. So we want to get rid of this old man. And he said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And how are we going to be holy? And that's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have no holiness within ourselves. We have no righteousness within ourselves. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags. That's what we've got to hold up. We've got nothing. We've got nothing. The Bible says that's our reasonable service. And so when you think about what God has done for us, and I won't ever forget, and I've shared this with you, third grade Miss Mary Smith made every one of her students a copy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And look at what a difference the years have made. When I can remember an old sweet teacher, bless her heart, I can remember and stuff, you know, she had a student in her classroom and stuff, and that student's daddy had passed away. Her mother had passed away, it was her mother. And that precious old lady sat at the front of the schoolroom and just wept. Because a child had lost its mom. And we think about what this world is like today and how that they have to be in school like they're walking on eggshells to keep from offending somebody. Here the Bible says for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What did God do for you? He loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son. What did Jesus do for you? Jesus gave His life. Brother Mike said a while ago, nobody took His life from Him. He gave it. Gave it freely. There Pilate thought he had all the power in the world. And he was talking to Jesus. He looked at Jesus. He said, don't you know that I've got the power to set you free or to hold you? And Jesus said that you wouldn't have any power whatsoever if it wasn't given to you from above. And He said, For this purpose, I came into this world. To go to this old rugged cross and to hang on this old rugged cross and give my life that you might go free. For this purpose and this purpose alone I came into this world, to do the will of my Father which sent me. And His will was that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Bible says for us right here, it says what? Said that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. That's our reasonable service. People, we can't pay back what's been done for us on an old rugged cross. We cannot pay back. He said, and be not conformed. Now listen, there's too much conforming goes on in this old world today. And I'm not talking about just in the world. I'm talking about in the church too. That's the reason I like to stay with the Bible and what God's Word said. You know, I got asked one time at one church, I was teaching Sunday school, said, we need you to start teaching from literature. I said, I got literature. I said, I got the Bible. I got the best kind I can have. You couldn't beat that right there. I said, yeah, but that's not what we want you to use. I said, yeah, but I'm not hired out to you. I'm hired out to somebody else. I'm hired out to the Lord. And I said, the Lord tells me what I need to use and what I don't. And I finally just packed up and left. But you can't get any better literature than what we've got right here. It says, be not conformed to this world. We need to get away from that conforming. We need to set our eyes and our affections on the Lord Jesus Christ and seek His will in our lives. Seek His guidance. Seek His direction. Get our eyes off of this old world and what's in this world. Because what's in this world will destroy us. This old flesh. That's the reason the Bible says, put this old man off. Put this old man off. It said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to renew our spirit in our minds. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look right there what the scripture says. Put on the new man. I said a while ago, we've got to put off, we've got to put on. We've got to put off, we've got to put on. Problem is this old flesh don't want to be put off. Because we get to looking around seeing things we want worse than we want to serve the Lord. That's where the word discipline comes in. Disciple. to make ourselves a disciple of the Lord and say just what Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. To make ourselves a vessel fit for the Master's use. Fit for the Master's use. Every day that we live, we ought to strive some way, somehow, to bring honor and glory to the name of our Heavenly Father and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day that we live, everywhere that we go. You know, there's not a whole lot to us as far as a light ourselves, but we can let His light shine forth. And that's what we need to do. We need to let the Lord's light shine forth into this old dark world. A little bit of light goes a long way. If you don't believe that, let the power go out. You just think about it. Put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, that right there is something you're going to have to be careful with. The Bible tells us to speak truth, and this particular passage is going back to Zechariah. Let me see. Let me look back in Zechariah just a minute. Read some scripture here. Zechariah chapter 8. Let's pick up with verse 13. He said, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repent it not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, and execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." So we listen to what the Bible says. Now, the Bible tells us, and we should all do it, put away lying and speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We need to be truthful. Now, some people can look at that and go on the other side of the fence. I see something that you need to know that is the truth, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you the truth, and while I'm giving you the truth, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, now, I'm going to say it doesn't matter whether the church is full or what. There is none of us sitting here that has got enough mind that we need to give a piece of it away. So you need to keep that in your mind when you want to speak the truth to someone, because you know what? I believe that everything that is done, whether it be speaking the truth or what, needs to be done in the love of God. I've told people this, witnessing to them, talking to them. I said, you know, the Bible says there in the temple that the Lord took and made him a whip, and he ran him out of the temple. And I've said this all my life. I said he was loving them while he was whipping them. He was loving them while he was whipping them. I believe that with all my heart. If you are saved by the grace of God, if you are washed in that precious and atoning blood, there's not a time that goes by that our Heavenly Father doesn't whip us. Just like the ones in the temple. And whatever we do, whether it's speaking the truth or whatever it might be, we need to do it in the love of God and not in man's way. We need to love one another and care for one another and try to help one another along as we go down this old road. Lift one another up, pray for one another. We surely need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Lord, help us here. Now, this may not hit some of y'all, but now somebody like me, this is going to be a thing that's going to weigh heavy and rest heavy on you. It says, be ye angry. Now, the Bible knows, or God knows, and the Lord knows, that we're going to have mad spells. It's in us. It's in us. We're going to have mad spells. So it said, be ye angry. And then it said, what? Sin not. Now, I'll use a little example for that right there. I am remodeling Jane's kitchen. Now, y'all go ahead and laugh. It's all right. Somewhere down the line, somebody come up with one of these, what they call a huge drawer. And that's to put the ladies' pots and pans in it so that they don't have to reach up in the cabinet and get them out. This big, huge, deep drawer that you could fold somebody up in them and hide them if you wanted to. Just slides out real easy. Slides in real easy. And that's the way it's supposed to do. Now, my daddy was a carpenter. Now, I've been driving nails for a lot of years. So when I measure something, I measure it once, I measure it twice, I measure it three and four times. And then before I put it together, I dry fit it. I mean, I'll tack that thing so you can just set it in there and see if it's going to work. And that's what I did. And this thing just slid right in. And it slid right out. But now we're talking about putting a bunch of pots and pans in this thing right here. And this is a 100-pound drawer slide. And they send you screws that are about 3/8 inches long. And for some reason or other, in the back of my mind, 3/8 inch screws ain't going to hold no 500 pounds of pans. Just ain't going to do it. So I'm going to put some runners on this that are the same size as my frame. Shouldn't make any difference. I put some runners on that to support it. I put some longer screws in it. Put the drawer in it. Slid it in about halfway and it stopped. Couldn't ask it to be no prettier than what it was. So I slid it back out and I slid it back in and it stopped. I said, now you ain't going to do this with me. See, now it done got personal because I've just started talking to the drawer. So I slid it back out and I slid it back in and it stopped. And I said, that's enough of this. So I sit down in the floor in front of the drawer. Put this nice number 10 on it. I said, you are going in, boy. You are going in. And I put the mojo on that thing and I heard something snap, pop. I said, well, that didn't sound real good. So I slid the drawer back out and stuck my head up over in the drawer. And there my drill was behind the cabinet. So I have done knocked a hole in my sheetrock wall. Got to repair that up in this little tight hole that I've made. And what did the Bible say? It said, be ye angry and sin not. So now keep that in your mind the next time you have a mad spell. What the Bible says, what the good Lord says, and don't sin. Now we're going to go a little further with this right here. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, how many of us husbands and wives have ever gone to bed with your cheeks pushed out and pouting? Now, you think about that. How many of us have laid down back to back, mad and pouting, with somebody that we love? Now, because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to stay with somebody 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You say, I've never loved them. I've just had them here, you know, to cook breakfast. It's just not going to be that way. So the Bible tells us right here, said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Get rid of it. How are we going to get rid of that old anger? We're going to have to see the Lord about that. We're going to have to pray the Lord. Say, Lord, it's me again. It's me again. Now you say that, I mean, I know that sounds funny. But now you think about during the course of a day how many times those of us who are saved by the grace of God go to our Heavenly Father. Lord, it's me again. I've done something else wrong. I've fallen flat on my face again. Lord, would you please remember me? Would you please help me? Would you please lift me up? And how many of us who know Him as our Heavenly Father can say, well, He's let me down two or three times. Not nobody in here is going to say that because He's a gracious and He's a merciful and He's a loving Heavenly Father that cares for us and keeps us in spite of ourselves. In spite of ourselves. Brother David, grace is going to carry us home, son. Grace is going to carry us home. Ain't going to be nothing about us. It's going to be grace that walks us into that gate. Brother Vince, it's going to be a beautiful homecoming when grace takes us home, son. Listen, says, neither give place to the devil. Listen to what he says. Don't give place to the devil. I mean, I know this old flesh wants to do it. It wants to turn somersaults and cartwheels because most of the time we need the attention. When we're having a mad spell, it's just like me sitting in the floor shoving that cabinet drawer in. I had to have some attention because this cabinet drawer was beating me at the time. So it could not be that way. It could not be that way. And God's Word plainly tells me, don't give place to the devil, Lee. Said, get away from that ignorance. Get away from that. Take away the wisdom of man and put on the wisdom of God. Put on the wisdom of God because we need that. We need that. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, listen to what the Scripture says. The Scripture talks like it's in favor of work. Now, I know that's an unpopular topic in this world we're living in today. Because I'm betting if we got people and stuff that work other people, they have trouble getting somebody to work. And a lot of that stems back, and I hate to say it, but a lot of that stems back to parents. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'll share this with you and stuff, and I may have done shared it with you, but my daddy, his daddy left them when he was just a little boy, and he got hired out at 8 years old toting Guyana. If you don't know what Guyana is, that's fertilizer. Told Guyana to the fields at 8 years old. I don't mean he went once and twice during the course of those 8 to 15 years of age. I mean it was every day, all day long, told it to the field, go on, boy, let's go. And that's the way it was. And my daddy was big on work, and he wasn't going to tolerate somebody that wasn't going to work. So I was raised to work. I was the only child. And I was loved and petted and seen after. And I was about 15 years old and I was done telling Daddy what kind of car I wanted. Oh, I want a nice one. Daddy come home one day. We just had got out of school. Just had got out of school for the summer. He walked in the house and said, son, you still want a car? I said, yeah, you got me one. He said, no, but I got you a job. You start tomorrow. Now that's the way the parents were with my daddy and my mama. That's the way it was. Now the Bible tells us plainly here, this is not something beating around the bush. Not even close by. But it said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, but it goes a little further. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Bible didn't tell us to work so we could store up and put up for our rotten selves. It told us to labor and work so that we could share with those that was in need. Now I'm not talking about taking somebody that won't work and keeping them up. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about helping one another. When they were waiting on the Holy Ghost to come there, everything they had was common. For the Bible says it was common. Whatever this person had, the other person had it. That's just the way it was. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, when I was a young Christian, I read that. I said, uh-oh, that's going to do away with cussing. Because I just thought that's what that was. But that's not what that is. It can include that because we certainly don't need to cuss. But the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about sitting out there. Don't be backbiting and running your big mouth about something, putting somebody down. If you want to deal with somebody being needs to be put down, go look in the mirror and start there. If you'll start there, you're going to stay busy. I promise you, you won't have time to look from that mirror into somebody else's place. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Now, edifying is building up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, isn't that a beautiful, beautiful scripture right there? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Our Heavenly Father has put a seal on us by the Holy Ghost. And we are instructed not to grieve the Holy Ghost. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now listen, and I'm going to read that again because that's good. The church needs to hear that right there. Because we are members one of another. We are part of the body of Christ. Every one of us members of the body of Christ. And it said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Ain't got nothing good to say? Be quiet. That'll be something new. Be quiet. And I love this verse right here. I love this verse. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. You know, if you're tenderhearted, you ain't going to say something out of the way to nobody. You just ain't going to do it. You'd rather hurt yourself than you hurt somebody else if you're a tenderhearted person. Said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now listen, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. The Scripture tells us that God did not forgive us because we were worthy of forgiveness. It tells us that God forgave us for Christ's sake. What He did for us on an old rugged cross, in that He suffered our condemnation, He suffered our punishment, and He tasted death for each and every one of us. And because of what He did, I love that song that the youth sing. Brother Tim, this is the last blood that I'll ever need. This is the last blood, because what the blood of animals, bullocks, sheep, what they could not do, this precious blood has accomplished. It is settled forever. Once and done, once for all. For Christ's sake, the Father has forgiven you. I thank you for your attention, Brother Mike. I'm going to stop there tonight, huh?